given them so much of confidence, so much of strength to stand up to patriarchy at their homes, to question, to you know, to say, really sort of decide for themselves what they want out of life. So really making women who are decision makers is very powerful, and I see a huge transition in all our girls, and it's just very, very enriching for us. And you know, we are excited about where Karm is going to go. So we look at the future and we are very excited about our girls.
I remember we got about 700-800 applications for our first batch of girls. A lot of them may not have been relevant applications, but the fact is the news got out fast. And as a result, now with each progressive batch, the quality of aspirants is also improving. And therefore, the sort of opportunities that we feel that we can give them is also improving with each batch.
Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors and businesses and professionals, and of course, philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. In these special episodes, Catalyzing Change, The Power of Family Philanthropy, as part of Unusual Suspects in collaboration with GivingPi, India's first family-focused philanthropy network, we are talking about the rapidly evolving philanthropic landscape and the paradigm shift that is underway. Philanthropists are increasingly leveraging technology, engaging in collaborative efforts, exploring innovative financial models, and placing a strong emphasis on equity and inclusion in their giving strategies. Together with families and philanthropists, we explore diverse giving approaches and evolving perspectives, aiming to inspire a new era of impactful philanthropy, especially in critical and underserved sectors. In this episode, we will delve into the crucial role of family philanthropy in championing the cause of women and girls, fostering diversity, and spearheading social change to advance gender equity in India. We'll explore how strategic philanthropic investments can become catalysts for progress, paving the way for a more inclusive and impactful future. I'm delighted to have Radhika Bharatram and Karthik Bharatram. Karthik and Radhika are founders of the Karm Trust. Through innovative and carefully designed programs, Karm Trust aims to broaden the awareness of and respond to issues affecting women. With some of their initiatives, they hope to empower women and girls with opportunities to pursue their dreams and build capability in local communities. Karthik is the Joint Managing Director of SRF Limited, a diversified chemicals conglomerate. Karthik is involved in the creation and strengthening of a performance-based culture within the organization through value-based leadership. Radhika is the Joint Vice Chairperson of the Shriram Schools in Delhi NCR. She leverages her active contribution in the education space by serving as a member of the board of SRF Foundations. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Karthik and Radhika.
Hello.
Hi, Gaurav. Thank you.
Radhika and Karthik, your work with the Trust, despite being in its early years, is very inspiring. Could you share more about how your giving journey started and how the Trust was conceived?
So, Gaurav, I think in our case, there's this whole legacy when you go back to my great-grandfather, Sir Shriram, who started Lady Shriram College and started SRCC. So we have a history of people being involved specifically in education as well as in other areas. Then over a period of time, besides these educational outfits, the family has done a lot in terms of rural education, other things. The SRF Foundation contributes to over a huge number of schools across the country, rural schools in terms of making them better schools in general. And my mother now about 35, 40 years ago started the Shriram Schools in Delhi. So we've done a lot on education, and I guess to that extent, a legacy has been created. And we felt that we ourselves should do something to take this forward. And that's where the idea of the current fellowship emanated from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just on a little bit of a personal note. Of course, the legacy of the family has played a huge part in shaping our thinking, both for Kartik and for me to be married into this home where, you know, the DNA of the family has been always to give. But on a personal note, you know, I come from a middle-class family and, you know, where my sister and me, we were always encouraged to live our lives at our own term. But, you know, when you look around, I don't see that true for many women in our country. And I think, you know, education is a powerful way to challenge this unfortunate mindset. We believe that, you know, education, you know, provides women with the ability to voice their opinion and have a choice in how they want to live their life. So this is our small step towards making sure that deserving young girls get equal opportunity and a platform to succeed. So that's where Karm really comes from.
Absolutely. How and why did you decide to focus on giving in areas of gender equality, and how is it interconnected to other issues? If you can elaborate on the Karm fellowships and why you decided to go with that model.
So basically, you know, a Karm is an expression of a personal conviction, right? We believe that women's education and financial independence is critical for the growth of not just their families, societies, but our nation, right? And we wanted to step into it. Somebody had to step into it. If you look at the whole landscape of giving, you know, so much intervention is being done for education of young girls till K-12. But the roadblock comes when the higher education puzzle comes into play. Typically, families want to invest, and I'm talking about underserved communities, right? Typically, families want to invest in education of their sons. The focus for undergraduation becomes less for girls. And we wanted women to succeed and work. So the whole concept of Karm is that we want to create financially independent women who will continue to work. So it's a lot of work that we are doing on mindset, creating opportunities, and of course, the financial support that each and every fellow gets at Karm.
Yeah, and obviously, I think just to add to Radhika, a lot of life skills which are being sort of imbibed in these girls. So let me put it this way. Some of these girls are absolutely top-notch girls. A lot of them are top-notch girls. And I think what we are providing them is a lot of confidence in themselves, their self-esteem to go up. We obviously provide them things like English language skills and other skills that they would find useful in the workplace at a later date when they actually come into the work environment. So putting all these things together, including the fact that they have a mentor through their 3 years, we find, and this is our first batch, which is now graduating right now, that a lot of the girls fortunately have got job offers. Some of them are going into further higher education. So there's a lot of good news that's coming based on our very first batch that's graduating, and it gives us the confidence that there's a lot more we can do in this area.
Absolutely. You know, if you could share some challenges you have encountered in your giving journey, especially setting up your own trust and being hands-on with your philanthropic efforts.
One of the challenges, you know, I've been asked this question many times. I have to say we've been extremely lucky. We've had support from not just our mentors, but just people who have just opened up doors for our girls. The one challenge I would say, or actually two challenges that I would say, was that we launched the project in peak of COVID in 2020. We just jumped right into it. And he said, this is going to be the best time to do this, or else, you know, life is going to take over. And we're so glad that we did it then. The other challenge is really, personally for me, is that you're so hands-on that you end up living in these two different worlds. One world is of privilege, and the other that you encounter with your girls, because I know each and every girl who is part of the fellowship. And their lives are difficult and the challenges are huge. And sometimes you are wondering what to support, how much to support. And it does become challenging because the needs are huge. And I didn't realize that when we sort of jumped into this. So it's been a huge learning experience for me personally, how to step back and as for Kartik and me to decide what are the problems we are going to solve for and what we will step away from. It is a very difficult and it's challenging many a times for us.
Add to that, I mean, like Radhika said, fortunately, setting up the trust, getting going was far simpler than we thought it would be. I mean, we've had many well-wishers who helped us through the process. Even our first batch, when we put the word out through social media, through various government entities, etc., I remember we got about 700-800 applications for our first batch of girls. A lot of them may not have been relevant applications, but the fact is the news got out fast. And as a result, now with each progressive batch, the quality of aspirants is also improving. And therefore, the sort of opportunities that we feel that we can give them is also improving with each batch.
Absolutely. Very progressive. Also, I mean, I'm sure during your philanthropic journey, you would have come across some what we call as the aha moments. If you could share some of these, you know, how have these moments shaped your approach to philanthropy with the Kerm Trust and other initiatives that you are part of?
So I think, you know, you reach an inflection point in your life where you realize you need to be doing something more than what one normally does. And to tell you the truth, very personally speaking, practically everything that we were doing was as a larger family or as an organization in terms of the CSR front. I think COVID, when we were literally sitting at home and really didn't have too much to do, was that inflection point for us where Radhika and I got talking about this in terms of what we can do. And I think that's that sort of aha moment for us, that we are at that juncture in our life where we've reached a stage where we have more than enough for ourselves. And therefore, what is it that we can do? And, you know, I mean, I've got 10, 15 years of my career left. I mean, there is more that one has to do in terms of figuring out what next in one's life. And I think this was a sort of a perfect segue for us that way to get into this area and get into helping these girls with a very clear purpose in terms of what we want to do for them.
I mean, from for the work that I've done at the Delhi Craft Council and at the Blind Relief Association, I think, when I saw people who we support and empower find the strength to earn and sustain themselves, I would define that as success, right? When you know that your interventions are going to change and impact lives and create opportunities and question the status quo, I think success is that for me. And as far as Karim is concerned, like Kartik mentioned, you know, our first batch is, you know, there are many aha moments and, you know, we will be sharing with the rest of the world soon as the first batch graduates in April. But, you know, just to see them confidently stand up, share their stories of resilience and academic pursuit, we see many, many aha moments. And, you know, what we have done is we have created safe spaces for our girls, created the whole mentoring program that has given them so much of confidence, so much of strength to stand up to patriarchy at their homes, to question, to say, really sort of decide for themselves what they want out of life. So really making women who are decision makers is very powerful. And I see a huge transition in all our girls. And it's just very, very enriching for us. And, we are excited about where Kerm is going to go. So when we look at the future and we are very excited about our girls.
You know, in the realm of philanthropy, there is often a discussion around depth versus scale. Some people advocate for deep targeted interventions, while others prefer broader scalable initiatives, and I'm sure there are merits on both sides of the fence. How do you reflect on your philanthropy evolving, particularly if you look at it from this kind of an approach? And what are your thoughts about depth versus scale in your own giving strategies and activities?
I'm all for depth. I think vision for Karm, for both Karthik and me, is that we don't just want to touch lives. We want to transform lives. And to transform lives, you have to go into depth. For us, each and every fellow who is part of Karm has to have a career, has to become financially independent. And that is our ask out of our girls and of the team, right? So for us, depth is critical. Like Karthik said, that, you know, we've reached a stage in our life that I don't think we need to prove to anybody how many numbers. I think we want to prove that how we have impacted lives, and they have transformed the communities around them. You know, they have pulled themselves out of intergenerational poverty. And, you know, this can only be achieved if you're looking at depth. We will continue to do that. So while Karm will grow in verticals where we will introduce different programs, the 101 touch, the high touch program is not going to change. And we love it. We love the connect that we have with our girls. It gives us an insight which helps us in building the program very well. And each and every fellow is different. It's an individual that we're dealing with, like we do it in our Shriram schools. Every child is unique, and we need to give them that focus and that attention. So for us, yes, depth is far more important than the width of it.
But Gaurav, like you said, I think each program needs to define how they want to impact people. There are some, I think, which are made for width, and possibly that's the best way of dealing with it. And I think what we chose is a depth-oriented program, because ours is much smaller numbers, and we want to, as Radhika, I think, very well put it very well, transform rather than just touch the lives of these people.
Absolutely. And given that the Karm thrust is still in its early years, how do you envision for the future of your giving journey? How do you wish for Karm Trust to evolve? And what is the road ahead, just in terms of vision and the path that it's going to take?
So we are going to be launching the Karm Law Fellowship now. We realize how powerful this degree can be for our girls, or for young girls who want to become financially independent. You know, like I didn't mention this, I think Karm really stands strong on, you know, the three C's, which is capacity building, then building communities, and collaborating with like-minded people. And I think the last puzzle is very important. We wouldn't have reached where we've reached if it wasn't for the mentors that we have. We have an army of almost 70 mentors who are supporting our girls, and they have really truly built Karm. So I look at Karm as the movement. We would like and hope that people join this movement, that we are able to collaborate with many more and reach many more girls, even if we were to start maybe 2 month programs, 3 month program. But, you know, for us, it's very important that we take baby steps and get it right and not be in a rush. So focus will remain on creating niche programs and make sure we deliver.
Yes, absolutely. And finally, you know, as India approaches its 100th year of independence, if you look at 2047, considering the critical role of philanthropy in India's social development, because the ultimate goal, of course, in the final analysis is to create a more equal, equitable society. What are some of the innovative pathways or strategies that givers can embrace, particularly families, to build an India where no one is left behind?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I was actually reading in the Economic Times today an article which stated that in the past, the government's actions, if you look at it in the 60s and 70s, was to tax the rich at as much as 95% of their wealth, of their income, in order to bring about equality. And basically, the question that was being raised was, how the number of billionaires that there are in India now, and is that good, and is it leading to more disparity in income in India? So the sort of takeaway from that was that while we have a large number of billionaires, how do we encourage them to become more giving rather than forcing them to give it in the form of taxes, which may or may not reach the last person or the person who needs it the most, right? We know that the tax method and then the government taking care of it may not be as effective as a lot of direct CSR projects that are done. So one is, I think this 2% CSR rule that the government came up for corporates was a good idea. There's no doubt about it in terms of the work that's getting done as a result of that has possibly impacted a lot of people in terms of capability building at a low level. I think each family has to figure out at some point when they are ready to do CSR and why it is important for the larger country. I do agree a huge disparity in income, especially in terms of lifestyles, can cause issues in the long run. And while there is no sort of magic formula answer for how this can be resolved, because if you don't allow people to live the sort of lifestyles that they want to live, then people are going to leave the country and go elsewhere where they can do that. So assuming that you allow the well-to-do to live their lifestyles, how can we encourage them to do more for the less fortunate is the question that, I mean, frankly, it's a million-dollar question, which I don't have an answer to, but I think it has to come from one's personal sort of being and thought rather than being forced upon them. I mean, really, that's the only thing I can think of, Gaurav.
Absolutely. And very well said. Both Radhika and Karthik, I mean, I cannot thank you enough for being part of this conversation and sharing your deep insights and perspective on the crucial role of family philanthropy in championing the cause of women and girls, fostering diversity, and spearheading social change to advance gender equity, among others. Thank you so much for dropping by and taking part in this conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.